All right, good morning, everybody. How you doing today? All right, we're going to start out just by praying, and then I'll get right into it, all right? Dear Lord, thank you so much for the chance to be here today, God, and I just pray that you would bless your word as it's preached today, and please just help the young people to listen very carefully to what's preached, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, go ahead and be seated, everybody. You can go ahead and have a seat. Okay, so today I want to just quickly talk about the fact that the Word of God today, God's Word is in the English language today, okay? That we don't have to go to a foreign language to understand what God says. Now, the Bible teaches that God is the God of the entire earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He's a God of all the earth and a God of all nations, okay? Let me read for you from the Bible. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation, all right? So the Bible says that God's the Lord of the whole earth, from kingdom to kingdom, generation to generation, all languages, all tongues, all nations, all people. The Bible says in Daniel 6:25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. So the Bible teaches that God's the God of all men in this earth, and God is the one that gave us different languages. You know, if we went to other parts of South America, most people speak Spanish, right? This is the only English-speaking country in South America, Guyana. And if we were to go over to Africa, there are all kinds of other languages. If we go to India, there are all kinds of other languages over there. And where we live in the United States, of course, we speak English, but we have a lot of people who speak Spanish. Now, why are there so many languages in the world? Have you ever wondered that? Why don't we all just speak the same language? Well, when God first created the earth, everybody did speak the same language in the beginning. But there was an event called the Tower of Babel. Who's ever heard that story about the Tower of Babel? And at the Tower of Babel, God split up the languages so that everybody in the world would speak different languages. So actually, it was God's plan that we would all speak different languages in the whole world. Not the same language, but different languages. Now, God gave us his word. Originally in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew. And in the New Testament, it was written in Greek. But God doesn't want his word only to just go to one specific nation or one specific language. Come on in. But God's plan has always been that his word would go to all nations and all languages. So therefore, God wants his word to be translated into other languages. Now let me ask you this. When you were born into this world, did you pick what language you were born speaking? Did you decide, did someone ask you, hey, do you want to be born in an English-speaking country or a Spanish-speaking? Did somebody ask you that? Do you have any choice about that? Why do you speak English? Because you were just born into a country where they speak English. Can you control that? No. Now, wouldn't it be unfair if God only gave his word to one language and then everybody else, it's like, well, sorry, you don't speak that language. That's tough for you. That wouldn't be good, would it? If God, do you think that God loves one nation more than another, or does God love all the nations of the earth equally? I believe that God loves all nations of the earth equally, like red and yellow, black and white. God has created us all. God loves all the different peoples of this world, all the different nations of this world. And God wants his word to be communicated to all the nations, to all languages, to all tongues, and to all people. Now, it wouldn't be right for God to just give it just in Hebrew and then nuts to everybody else. Or to give the word of God just in Greek, and if you're in Greece, great, you get the word of God. Otherwise, you don't. Or what if he just gave his word only in Arabic, and then the whole rest of the world doesn't really have the Word of God? Or what if God just gave His Word only in Sanskrit, and then the rest of the world can't read the Word of God? That wouldn't make any sense if God's the God of the whole earth. And the Bible says God is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the God of all nations, all people, and all languages. That's why God's Word can be translated into any language. We can translate God's Word into English, Spanish, Portuguese. We can translate it into Hindi or Urdu or Arabic or any language in the whole world. Now, let me prove that to you from the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, verse 6, it says this. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? So in Acts chapter 2, the word of God was preached by the apostles in all the languages. God performed a miracle where they were able to speak foreign languages that they'd never studied. So they were, you know, wouldn't that be amazing to just start speaking Chinese and you've never even studied it? Or just start speaking Arabic? That's what the miracle was on the day of Pentecost. They were able to speak a language that they never studied. That right there proves that God's word can be preached in any language, because the Holy Spirit allowed God's word to be preached in all languages on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 that people will be in heaven from all nations. In heaven, when we get there one day, if we believe on Jesus, there will be people there from every country in the world. People from Guyana, Brazil, Suriname, French Guyana, people from the United States, Canada, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, India. Everywhere in the whole world will have people in heaven. You know why? Because the Holy Bible, God's Word, has been translated into every single language. Every language in this world that's any kind of a major language at all has the whole Bible in it. And even tiny little languages at least have parts of the Bible, whether they just have, you know, John 3:16 or John and Romans or just the New Testament. But everywhere in this world, people have the Word of God. Why? Because God wants all men to be saved. And I thank God that I don't have to go learn a foreign language in order to read God's word. I can read it right here in English. I would hate to go to church and have the church be in another language that I don't understand. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine going to church and it's just like ching chong 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 chong? Wouldn't that be a boring church? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if we're in Guyana, you expect you go to church, it's going to be in English. If I'm in Mexico, I expect to go to church and find Spanish. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying it's better to speak five words in a language you understand than 10,000 words in a foreign language that's just a bunch of gibberish and a bunch of ching chong chow to you, and you don't even know what they're even saying, okay? Now, I'm going to give you the most important message right now that God wants you to get from the Word of God, and that's how to be saved. And God wants all nations to know this message. Number one thing I want you to know is that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one in here who's never sinned before. Every single person in here has sinned, whether that's disobeying your parents, lying, stealing, disobeying your teacher, you know, whatever the sin. Come on in. Come on in. Don't worry about it. We've all sinned today. And because of our sins, there's a punishment that we all deserve. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But after we die physically, that's not the end. The Bible talks about a second death. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, what do we normally call that lake of fire? Hell, right? And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I've lied before. Who would admit that they've lied before? Put up your hand if you've lied before. Yeah, we've all lied before. And the thing is, because we've lied, the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we all deserve to go to hell. I deserve to go to hell. You deserve to go to hell because we've all sinned and we've done worse things than lying. But God loves us anyway. Even though we're sinners, God loves us anyway. And the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for us. Now, Jesus was God in the form of a human being. God came to this earth and became man. He became flesh. He lived a perfect life that none of us could live. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And Jesus Christ performed a lot of miracles, and he preached the word of God, and his preaching made a lot of people mad. They got offended. So he ended up getting arrested. They ended up beating him, spitting on him, and eventually nailing him to the cross. Well, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, the Bible says he himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That means every sin that I've ever done and every sin that you've ever done, it was as if Jesus had done it. He was being punished for our sins. Then when he died on the cross, they took his body down from the cross and they buried it in a tomb. But his soul went down to hell for 3 days and three nights. 3 days later, what happened? He resurrected. He rose again from the dead. Now, Jesus died for everybody in the whole world, but is everybody in the whole world going to go to heaven? No, because there's one thing that we must do to be saved. The Bible asked the question one time, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not say that you have to join my church to get saved. He did not say that you have to join your church to get saved. He didn't say to join any church to get saved. Going to church is a great place to learn the Bible, but the one thing we must, if it's in English, right? But the one thing that we must do to be saved, according to the Bible, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the most famous verse in the Bible, right? John 3:16. And not only that, but the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by our works or by our deeds. The Bible says we're saved by faith or believing in Jesus. And the Bible says it's the gift of God. Okay, so let's say I were going to give you a gift today. Who wants to be my volunteer? Put up your hand. All right here in the front. Or are you just scratching your head? All right, what's your name? What is it?
Danae.
All right, so let's say I'm going to give you a gift, Danae, and I want to give you this Bible as a gift, but you just have to give me $1,000. Is that a gift? Okay. What if I said, hey, Danae, I'm going to give you this gift. It's totally free, but you have to wash my car. Is that a gift? No. What if I said, okay, Danae, I'm going to give you this gift. You just have to be my servant for the rest of your life. So anytime I tell you to do something, you just have to do it. Is that a gift? No. Okay, what if I gave it to you and I said, okay, it's totally free, it's a gift. Well, you already got your money out and ready, huh? But let's say I gave you this gift totally for free, right? And then I came back 2 weeks later and I said, hey, Danae, I need that back. Is that a gift? No. So there's two things about a gift, is that a gift is free, and once you receive it, it's yours forever. You get to keep it, right? Because if I come back and take it from you a week or two later, that's not a gift. A gift belongs to you. You get to keep that gift, right? So the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. So who pays for a gift, the giver or the receiver? The giver pays for it, right? So if I'm giving her this Bible, I pay for the Bible. I give it to her for free. If she had to pay for it, it's not a gift, okay? So God's giving us the gift of eternal life. So who pays for our salvation? Who pays for eternal life, us or him? Who paid for it? I can't hear you. Him, yeah, exactly. So how did he pay for it? By dying on the cross, by being buried, by rising again from the dead, right? He paid for it with his blood. He paid with his death, burial, and resurrection. How much do we have to pay? Nothing. Do we have to work for it? No. Do we have to serve him our whole lives to get it? No, because that wouldn't be a free gift. The Bible says it's a free gift. All we have to do is just believe in Christ and we'll be saved. If I said to you, hey, Danae, I'm going to give you this Bible as a gift, all you have to do is just believe me. And then she takes it and she gets to keep it for the rest of her life. That's a real gift. That's a true gift, right? Now, if I were to make a promise to her and I said, I promise you I'm giving you this forever, and then later I came and took it back for any reason, what would that make me? A liar, right? Well, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The Bible says God cannot lie and that God promised us eternal life. Is he going to break that promise? Can God break that promise? No way. So once God gives you eternal life, he'll never take it away. He'll never break that promise. Now, let's say after you believe on Jesus and you're saved, let's say after that you go out and do something bad. Let's just get crazy. Let's just use a crazy example and just say you actually kill someone. Is he going to come and take it away from you? Oh, well, that's it. I mean, I'm taking that back. No. Now, if you do that, you're going to get punished. Obviously, God doesn't want us killing or stealing or lying or anything, adultery. So if we commit sins, he's going to punish us on this earth for those sins. So if I go out and kill someone, I'm going to prison. I might even get executed, right? I'm going to, but here's the thing. Once you're saved, he'll never take away your salvation, though. You'll still go to heaven if you believed on Christ. But he'll punish you on this earth. You'll get your punishment here. Whereas a person who does not believe on Jesus Christ is not going. You got to believe in Jesus. That's the way to get there. So, the Bible's real clear that there's only one way to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So no matter what nationality we are, no matter what language we are, no man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ. The only way to be saved is through believing in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people think that they're going to go to heaven because they're good. Oh, I live a pretty good life. Wrong. Wrong. Because you know what? The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It didn't say live a good life and you'll be saved. Some people say, hey, if you stop sinning, you'll be saved. Wrong. Because you know what? None of us is ever going to fully stop sinning. Who here thinks that anybody on this earth has stopped sinning? They never sin again. No, because we're all human, right? The way to be saved is just by believing in Jesus. It's by faith. And once we're saved, there's nothing we could ever do to lose our salvation. We can screw up our life on this earth, but we can never screw that up. Now, does everybody understand what I'm saying this morning about how to be saved? Is there anybody who has a question about it? Does everybody understand? Okay, well, listen. Who believes what I said? Who believes that Jesus died for all your sins? Who believes that? And you believe that Jesus rose again from the dead and that Jesus will save anybody who believes on him. Who believes that? All right, great. Let's bow our heads and pray, and I just want to help you tell God that that's what you believe right now so you can know for sure you're going to heaven, all right? Let's bow our heads and pray. You can just repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I believe that you died on the cross and rose again. Please save me right now and give me the gift of eternal life. I'm only trusting you, Jesus. Amen. Now, who prayed that prayer and you meant that just now? And you believed that just now? All right, great. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant that, because obviously I can't see your heart, but if you meant that, which I believe that you did, I believe you're sincere, then the Bible says when you go to heaven, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Isn't that great news? That's good news, right? So you already know the last chapter of your life. You know that in the end, you're going to go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. Not because you're a good person, because you're not. It's because you believe in Jesus Christ, right? It's because you have faith in the Lord. And you're going to heaven no matter what. That's great. Now, it's up to you to decide how you're going to fill in between, how you're going to live your life in between. You can follow the word of God and be blessed, or you can disobey the Lord. He's going to punish you on this earth, but thank God you'll still get into heaven. You'll still be saved because whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank you so much for listening and being so attentive, and I appreciate the chance to preach the word of God to you, and we're going to be giving you some DVDs to watch later on so that you can learn a lot more about the word of God and so forth. So thank you again.